Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
I love that song. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's a miracle worker. Tell your other neighbor, he's a way maker. Now turn to the other neighbor now and say, he's going to keep his promise. So we are prophesying over each other. And it's so good. I'll tell you, we are doing something very important and spiritual as we worship together. I want Jenna and the whole team here, give them a big clap, will you? Tell them they are leading. They are the praisers. And just like in the story of 2 Chronicles 20, God, as he prophesied, said, I'm going to save you from absolute, total, guaranteed annihilation. And King Jehoshaphat received the prophetic word, send out the praisers first. And so we go out, but we so appreciate the worship team and what they do. So praise God. We have our friends from Switzerland, Hans, Jürgen, and Edie. Where are you? Wave your hand. There you are. Stand up. Great to see you. Welcome. They're from a sister church called Schleifer, where we, Pastor Bonnie and I, go often, right? Are you doing well? Are you enjoying your visit to the U.S.? Repeat that as you have the mic.
God is a miracle maker.
Amen. Thank you so much. Welcome. Welcome. Some of you, make sure you give them Hans and Edie a big hug. All Nations hug. We greet everybody who's watching us. We have got people from Germany, Switzerland, Britain, Malaysia, Singapore, Jamaica, Brazil, Venezuela. I mean, all over, people watch us. It's amazing. So as you come watch and pray, know that you are helping others, and there are watchmen around the world, and we invite you. Those of you out there watching us, join us Friday nights as we worship the Lord, as we watch and pray. Even if some people are playing on their computers, it's all right. I'm joking. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I do want to underline tonight, we do want to, this is an important watch focus. I mean, all watch focus are important for different reasons. And I hope you take the time to go to our website each week and see what the Holy Spirit is telling us prophetically. We want to pray, we always pray for our nation. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for God's shield over Israel, and we pray for God to bless those in authority. We pray for our military, our law enforcement. We pray for every family at All Nations Church and at during the watch, all of that, and our related partners. We cover you in prayer. So this we take for granted, but also not for granted as much as this is right there. We just focus. We know we're going to do that. But then there are special focuses that we do need to underline, have pay a little attention, because God, either prophetically or just in the news, is telling us that we better pay attention to this. So this week, we say these evenings, and then for the coming days, a few days until we have the next watch focus, we specifically also want to pray. It says, pray for our neighbor, Mexico. And it's according to the latest figures, and this is this week, Mexico is now considered the second most violent, dangerous nation in the world. That it's kind of strange. Isn't it? I mean, you would we'd take it for granted. Now, I've been in Mexico. I've done crusades in Mexico City and Tijuana. I had one where we had 5,000 pastors some years ago, and so the regular people are just wonderful, humble. Some of the most hardworking people. But anyway, yet Mexico is now more dangerous than Somalia, Afghanistan, and Iraq. Like a spirit of violence has come, and only Syria is at present considered more deadly zone for violence, based on data from the International Institute for Strategic Studies. And by the way, usually I'm the one who writes these watch focuses, or ask Heather or part of our staff to help us, but usually we choose this carefully. So I mean, I want to confirm that these are not made up figures. This is right this week. I saw it personally, and of course, others will confirm. So the murder rate in Mexico has skyrocketed due to drug-related violence that has resulted in 5,775 murders in just the first quarter of this year. That's 6,000, approximately, murders just in the first 3 months of this year. This is a 29% increase over last year. And the trend continues. Last year, there were 23,000 homicides due to ongoing drug wars and cartel violence. So even though Mexico has, on the other side, has potentially a very vibrant economy, has plenty of wonderful promise plan provision there. It is the 15th highest GDP according to the World Bank. So we want to pray. One of the things we do want to remember to pray tonight is for our neighbor, Mexico. It's right there, next door. And if you're in California or you're in Texas, I went to college in Texas, and there would be times where we could, you know, of course, it was somebody, I was in West Texas, so, but there were times where some of my friends would make an overnight trip and go to spend a day across the border and then come back. So they are our neighbors. If you're in Arizona, you see it's right there, our neighbor. Pray for its law enforcement and military forces that are involved in trying to restore law, order, and peace in this beautiful country. Pray for an end to the corruption that adds great difficulty to the effort to defeat the drug lords. And that the corruption is just, it's terrible. I mean, you know, hey, some of those guys, they say, the drug lord say, I'll make you a multimillionaire overnight if you do this and this. It's for you. When they are poor people, it's not that easy to resist. Pray for the safety of all the law-abiding people of Mexico. Bind the spirit of addiction and violence that runs through that nation and also affects the United States, which is its neighbor. Pray for a great move of God in that nation, in the nation of Mexico. Pray for the rise of the believing churches in Mexico. And by the way, this week, our nation honored our law enforcement officers, and President Trump addressed a large gathering to honor our police officers and those who have fallen in the line of duty. As we pray for law and order in Mexico, we want to also uphold our law enforcement, our police force, and other law agencies, and pray for supernatural protection for them. It says in Leviticus 26, verse 6, I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. That's a great scripture to pray for Mexico. So thank you that we will pray tonight, and then for the next few days, try to remember that. as we stay, and part of it, as we talk about some of these, like we are like a war council in some ways. This is for all, but I do not take this as always. First, say we are coming with the spirit of praise and worship and thanksgiving. We know our God is a miracle worker. He is a way maker. So we are making these declarations, and then we speak some of these concerns. Lord, on your heart, we know and that we want to take your heart for the precious people of Mexico, those humble people who are working hard, and yet these drug cartels can come and mow so many innocent people down, and it's all corruption and drugs and et cetera, et cetera. So, but know that our God is a miracle-working God. He gives revival in the land. He turns nations around. And so he is going to do a miracle for Mexico. Amen? Say, he's going to do a miracle. And tonight, I want to somewhat take a few more, some moments to, I don't know whether I'll finish, but one of the themes that I felt prophetically the Lord was underlining for us, and we want to talk from Scripture. Scripture, the Word of God, is our major guideline. The Word stands forever. So one of my favorite scriptures, and my mentors, my apostle Derek Prince's favorite scripture, it was in Isaiah, all flesh is as grass. The flower fades, but the word, all flesh is as grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. So we stand on the word of God and the promises of the word of God. And so we know God is up to something. He's giving us miracles. And so we want to remember the great miracles. We approach things with saying, Lord, you have done mighty things. If you will see the pattern, it is always praise you, Lord. You delivered us. Oh, Lord, we remember when you send the plagues to Pharaoh to deliver your people. Lord, and we want to remind you, we thank you so much you brought us out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble in our midst. You are a great miracle worker. So you want to rehearse in that way the miracles that God has done in your family, in my family. And remember that that's the atmosphere. Do not, and that's part of the strategy. We must have strategy. And my theme is, and it's weird, there was a lot of cry. I don't want to take it politically, though, but I want to take that as a sign for us on a spiritual level and as people who believe the Word of God. But there was a kind of cry that came up from thousands of people in this land saying, build the wall, build the wall. But I felt like they were prophesying in the Spirit to us as a people, to us individually. What does it mean? The Scriptures have a lot of instructions and encouragement for us about building walls. What does that mean? Tonight, as I address this issue, it is for us to look at ourselves, to individually, God says, build your walls. Don't let little things destroy you, wipe you out, that I am making you a strong fortress. You are going to make trouble for the enemy, but the enemy is not going to make trouble for you. Yeah. Amen? And so you build yourself. That's part of it, that you learn about all. What we are doing, some of this, we take them as ritual. No, it's so meaningful and it's so important for us as we live the journey of life. This is a challenge to us, and God, these are manuals of instruction so you can bring not only yourself, we bring ourselves, but bring our family, our children into the promised land provision. All you'll find there are Hittites and Amalekites and Amorites and all termites, every kind of ites will try to fight you, and you, God says, I am going to give you the victory over these things. But you're going to build your walls in your, we need to help each other. So when you are allowing some of those termites to come and build that, smash your little walls, we're going to say, hey, we're going to help you. We're going to strengthen you, strengthen your inner being. So your soul is important. Your life, your spiritual life, your soul life is important. We build our inner walls, the personal walls. Then build, strengthen the walls of the church. It is important that it is the bride of Christ. And you will say, you'll see in the Song of Solomon, I'll give you a reference, where the bride herself, the church, which is the bride of Christ, says, I am a wall. That's amazing. I am a wall. That means you can come and shelter under my wings because I am the anointed bride of Christ and I am a strong wall. So the church is referred to as a wall. And then the city, you'll find again and again the reference to Jerusalem. But the city is a type. We yesterday, I was talking to a spiritual leader, and there were with some people, pastors, some leaders in Charleston, and they were referring to the time where this evil spirit took over this man, and he came and did horrible acts of violence and murdered people literally in a church. And it was a totally demon-possessed white young man, and he came and shot several wonderful African-American people worshiping in that church, beautiful people. And so we know several pastors in Charleston, dear, dear friends of ours. And a lot of them considered this church as an apostolic leader for them. Anyway, but he was commenting on the fact that when the enemy came, this was trauma. He wanted to shatter the walls. And then there were the ites that from around the nation were going to come and try to set Charleston on fire with fear and division and all kinds of things. And the pastors and the intercessors and the spiritual people community of Charleston stood as one man, united with black and white, Hispanic, everybody together saying, you are not going to set our city on fire. You're going to stay out of here. And there were a strong wall. And they were able to, it was a miracle that people around the United States noticed that something happened. And in the same way, when you see the video of some of our people, Bonnie and Todd and Cindy and many of our intercessors, when they were at last end of last October when the enemy tried to set this city on fire, the intercessors and the pastors, kind of all of the watchmen showed up, and really basically we came together and said, not in our city. You're not going to set it on fire. We are standing together. So that's part of having strong walls that are together that will not allow the Amalekites and the termites and all of the enemy forces to come in. So that's part of that thing about, I went over some of this area. I want to remind you also that we declared prophetically last week, and I don't want you to forget that part of the prophetic word we declared, we are declaring now, and don't let the enemy rob you of this word. It is a word to us of promise that the drought is over. Amen? The drought is over. Say that over yourself. Drought is over. So let the rain, the supernatural spirit of restoration and encouragement come over you. Don't let the word, that is a current word. The other word that I repeated for a family again over some wonderful business people that the enemy tried to steal this week. And I said, remember the promise God gave us at the beginning of the year, that the scripture from 1 Samuel 30 is for you. When the enemies try to steal, attack you, that we're going to pursue, overtake, and recover all. So tell your neighbor, you're going to recover all. And that is important, because then, otherwise you can, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I could, you know, I could allow myself to get discouragement come in, or this, any of these Amalekites come in. Protect the walls. Make the walls strong. And the great book in the Bible about restoring and rebuilding the walls that have been broken down is the book of Nehemiah. So we are going to look at that book, somewhat an eagle-eye view of it, and receive its promise, again, prophetically for ourselves, that the Lord is keeping his promise to us, for our families, that wherever the enemy has tried to pull those walls down, where he has tried to, it's okay. God is going to restore that wall. He's bringing restoration, a season of restoration, a season prophetically of healing, so that let the glory of God come and restore you, restore us, restore the church of Jesus, restore the economy of the land. But we want to jealously guard in intercession and see that the word comes to pass. I'm going to refer to what I remind you is last Friday I mentioned that in the book of Nehemiah, it kind of is put it in context that this is in the context of the Lord is watching over his people, and in this, it's the model is the Jewish people, and he's letting them come back to the promised land, to Jerusalem. And this is in 445 BC, and they're coming out from captivity. And about 140 years before, Nebuchadnezzar conquered Judah, burned its cities down, destroyed its walls. And when the walls are destroyed, it shatters the integrity of a city. Anyone can come in, go out, bandits and wild creatures. And the Jews were taken captive to Babylon. This is in 530 BC. Persia conquered the Babylonian Empire. And then in that time, then the Persians allowed the Jews to return to the land. And as they came back, they found it desolate and open to take. The walls were broken down, and the Persian emperor allows Nehemiah to go back. So we're going to go to that scripture in a moment. You find Ezekiel 22, verse 30. It says, I was looking for a person who will make up the hedge or the broken down place in the wall, but I could find no one. So that is an important aspect of the Lord and his promise for us, is that I am Ezekiel. There it is. Ezekiel 22. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge or the wall, or the broken down place in the wall, and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. That's why as we take our place, and it's so important that people realize that they have a call. It's not just only about me. It's about a hurting family or someone who needs a prophetic word or a miracle or a breakthrough. And we have had people on the come. I know, as a pastor, I cannot talk personally about certain specific, but there have been awesome people who were so wounded and hurting. And they've literally, even in the last few months, they've been on the verge of suicide. And they came up and got saved. And the awesome restoration process started in their lives. But you are there to give strength. Not only you are, as you pour yourself out, God will naturally, that's part of his rule, he will bless you. He will make up things in your life because you come not only for yourself, but you serve the Lord. I'm going to add my voice in praise, in worship. I will go to strengthen the Lord's ministry. And we are right now broadcasting this word to the nations. I just want you to know that it used to be we would have to, and we used to, and we still have those programs where we would broadcast, and we hope to do it again in a different context, but our TV messages, and we had more than 250 programs, I mean, totally professional, everything, and it cost quite a bit, but we would broadcast all across the Middle East in the Arabic language, and then a lot of our programs were translated in Farsi or the Iranian language, and there were millions listening to our voice. But now, and this was a few years ago, but now the digital world has really broken all the walls down. We can, with very few boundaries, preach the word of God to every nation instantly. This word tonight is being broadcast to people who need healing. I believe right now there is supernatural touch for someone who's watching us that has got kidney condition. You are getting kidney dialysis, and the Lord is giving you a miracle right now. So we are speaking that healing glory and the angel to touch you tonight. Anyway, but our efforts are together. Say together. And you find that the book of, I'm just affirming, and then we'll go to specific book of Nehemiah. But I just wanted to say, give you some other references that the theme of strong walls, making up the broken places in walls, and the importance of us individually and then corporately, the walls remain strong for us. So therefore, church community, the local community, our walls need to be strong so we can resist the enemy coming in to the city to attack the community, the intercessor, the watchman. We saw the example just a few months ago, but it meant the whole city. I mean, historically, the nation was watching Charlotte. And what happened in this city, in this area, was going to be very important during the elections. And it would determine that how the state of Carolina went was important, key. And you, as intercessors and watchmen, made a difference. We were here praying, and you were there helping worship and speak the healing word of God right there. So the watch here, and then you guys putting feet to the prayer out there on the street made a difference. Anyway, so Revelations 21, verse, it says, even in the heavenly city, Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, it says, and it had having the glory of God, verse 11, and our light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And this is the heavenly Jerusalem, had a wall great and high, had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now this is in the heavenly city. Even that has a great wall. So, and on the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. So the walls is important. The gates are important. And we'll see this in Nehemiah. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. I mean, these are all important things we see carried out even in the heavenly Jerusalem, where I've already applied for citizenship, and so have you. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to be an occupant in this awesome heavenly city. Hallelujah. And the Song of Solomon, I made a reference, I'll give that scripture to, is chapter 8, verse 10, where the church makes a declaration of the bride of Christ saying, I am a wall. And I said, wow, that's fascinating. So we are setting a theme here that God is prophetically, even in this cry of thousands of people in this, I felt like the Spirit of God saying, I am saying to you, build the wall strong for every individual that the enemy will not tear down. There are supernatural forces that we need to recognize and stay united so you be encouraged. And if not, all those ites will start slowly eating up the foundations of your wall and tear it down. Your family has walls. And it's important we strengthen it. Your children, as you keep your walls strong. Single, on Mother's Day, I talked about not just regular mothers, but I said even single moms. There was a special word of encouragement the Lord gave me for single moms. I don't care whether you are a mother, you're married, you're a widow, you're single, it's okay. God will keep his promise. And in that, remember that word that God gave the prophet, the oil is not going to cease and the flour is not going to quit. You will have your supply because God is promising that word for you. And so you see, wow, be done to me according to God's word. And the miracle after miracle, if whatever the condition around of famine or lack there would be, God has a promise for the mothers and for the single ladies saying, I am going to keep you. The oil is not going to quit. The flour, I am going to give you your supply. Anyway, glory to God. Amen? And King David, you'll find in several Psalms that he will tell us again and again, we are supposed to be a strong fortress. Say strong. It says, I will love this, Psalm 18. O Lord, my strength, the Lord is my rock. He is my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. So the strong wall, the fortress, the high tower, that's God. So the church is referred to as a wall. God himself is a strong, mighty fortress for you. And he is a strong tower for us. Okay, glory. I want to go quickly now I want to jump to Nehemiah. I felt like these are some foundational thoughts I wanted to lay first. All right. We'll refer to this in a moment. But let's go to the book of Nehemiah. Many people think of him as the shortest man in the Bible because they say he was knee high. Maya. Terrible. I throw an extra piece of information you did not need. I wanted to really almost, I want to comment on the end, because I may not get to it, and it's so much, so important, and then go to the beginning. So near the end, we're going to go near the end. I want you to look at, if you will turn to Nehemiah chapter 12, it's near the end, and you'll find verse 27 onwards. And he gathers as, this is now, it's not really fair. It's like telling you the end of the movie and then going back to begin. But in this thing, I thought it was important to mention it, that as the wall is rebuilt, that Nehemiah, this awesome, amazing prophetic leader, and I call him, later on you'll find out why, if I get the time, but he's the Chuck Connors, Chuck Norris of the Bible. There was Chuck Norris. Connors also was a tough guy. He was the rifleman. But Chuck Norris, remember? There are, you can get some clean Chuck Norris jokes. If you want to look at some of the, almost all are clean, because he's a very Christian guy. But it says, you know, what is he? The earth, you know, which is the earth revolves around the sun. But for Chuck, the sun revolves around Chuck Norris. You know, that's he's a tough guy. So for me, you'll find he's the Chuck Norris in the Bible. He's a lot of fun. But he says here, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites at all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness. Say gladness. Gladness. Both with thanksgivings and singing with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. See, we think sometimes we cannot get overzealous enough. There is enthusiasm and fire in their worship and their thanksgiving and singing. They are making a loud noise. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages, the so-and-so, from the houses. And now they give the details. For the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem. See, where the singers are, as near Jerusalem, they are the closest. The praisers and the worshipers need to stick close to the church because their voice is needed to lift up the name of Jesus. So they built homes as close to Jerusalem as possible, from the house of Gilgad, from the fields, so and so. Then the priests and Levites purified themselves, purified the people, the gates and the wall. So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. How about that? The worship is so important even after the wall is built. This is, God says, don't take it for granted. You're going to keep up the worship, the praise, the thanksgiving, and specific choirs are appointed to do this. And then they go on to name all the guys. And it was important. So they name Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the son of Matan, the son of Asaph, and his brethren, Shema, Azarel, Melilai. And so this is the reason, part of the reason God allows this Bible to be specific is to let you know these are real people in history who gave their lives for praise, for worship, for thanksgiving, and lift up the name of Jesus. And how, the honor that God gives them, that in the eternal book, their names are written. The names of the praisers, the singers, the worshipers are specifically, and I believe the intercessors who held them up. And by the fountain gate in front of them, verse 37, they went up the stairs of the city of David. On the stairway of the wall beyond the house of David, the other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half of the people on the wall. going past the Tower of the Ovens as far as the broad wall, and above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate, and all of these guys, God, gates, by the way, I will, if I care, I would go just briefly over them, and the Tower of the Hundred as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped by the gate of the prison. So the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God, likewise I and the half of the rulers with me, and the priests, Eliakim, Messiah, Minjamin, I mean, it goes on and on. The singers sang loudly with Jezreel, their director. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced. Say, shout, rejoice! Because that was part of the thing that the Lord, that you're going to rejoice and then I'll fill up your batteries. Sometimes you say, oh, I'm so down. Oh, I'm so depressed. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm exhausted. Well, come and rejoice together and celebrate and worship the Lord. You'll find God's going to charge your batteries. As you give him praise, he'll give you, restore your soul. So, rejoice to God, make them rejoice with great joy. So and then the Lord made them rejoice with what? Great joy. Say, great joy. Shout it again. The women and children also rejoiced. How about that? They did what? Shout it out. Rejoice. All right. So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard far off. Don't imagine that the joy, the sound that vibrated of praise in that city was heard miles away, that these guys were worshiping and praising the Lord. Isn't that great? And it goes on. I mean, and then you find that Nehemiah takes time to bless each and every section. He blesses the people. He blesses each of the gates. He blesses every section of the wall. And he speaks the divine blessing of God. So tonight, as you are helping strengthen the wall of prayer and the wall of the watch, that God himself is charging your batteries. He's giving you a fresh spirit of rejoicing, and he's blessing you. Blessing, he says, I'm planning, as you help rebuild the walls, I'm going to charge your batteries and bless you and bless your family. Hallelujah. So now we go back to the beginning. Now you can. Nehemiah chapter 1. We'll start now. And I will stop in a few moments, but we'll take off. I'll finish this the next time. Not necessarily, by the way, next Friday. Say next Friday. That's our, Pentecost healing service. That's right. So just want you to know there are many people who are going to be flying here to this city with the most critical conditions. And so invite people to come. Invite those who have critical hurts, pains, I mean, diseases. We have had, the Lord has told us, you're going to celebrate and hold these special. We had a Good Friday healing service a year ago, the Good Friday healing service, we had four specific stage 4 cancers completely healed with testimonies, with certification from doctors that each of these guys were in total remission. And so he's in more, Lord. Say more, Lord. We give all praise and glory to Jesus Christ for that. All right. So here you'll find that when you look at the Bible and look at the books of the Bible, you'll find in the books of the Bible, it'll be Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. That's the order in which it comes. Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. This happens around the same time, but in history chronology, Esther should come first. Then Nehemiah, then Ezra. Ezra, his job is to build the temple, rebuild the temple that has been destroyed. Nehemiah's job is to help rebuild the wall. And Esther is the prophetic, awesome queen. And we have looked at the book of Esther and many times. I mean, the whole thing is so much filled with joy here. Because when you read the book of Esther, there are the Orthodox Jews specifically get drunk. I mean, especially their rabbis. Maybe that's an instruction to me, but I will keep away from that for the time being. But anyway, I mean, it's because, and there is a day where they make jokes. You know, it's a day of jokes, the day before the Purim or something. And basically, it's a time to laugh because God turns the tables on the devil and the enemy who wants to destroy God's people. But you heard me read in the Nehemiah. I mean, it's full of rejoicing. First, there is the news that you have to deal with. So you see it says, Nehemiah chapter 1, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, that's from the old country. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And this is important. This is an important piece of news that is brought to him, and that you find how important it is. Therefore, we see people, individuals, and Michael and some of the people who get to travel with me, Bonnie sees this also, Heather, whatever. As I do the healing service often, I was in Ann Arbor 1 week, and 2 weeks later I was in Pennsylvania. And usually some of these churches, services are hundreds to 3,000. I will lay hands on these personally. And I get to see, one-on-one, the pains, the hurts, the broken lives that you see. And again, you see where opioids, for example, drugs, have shattered families, and how it's like a curse that come down, and the walls have been broken down. Those walls of the family of protection are broken up, so the children are shattered, the grandchildren are broken. I want to tell you, there are so many broken, hurting families out there, broken lives. They have been shattered by bad habits, not necessarily of theirs, but their fathers or their mothers. Or when the children's lives, I have had to pray just a few days ago, where the mother is bearing the burden of the father, of a child who's grown up, and then suddenly they gave into drugs, and the personality is so shattered, there is nothing, almost nothing that they are completely captured by the demon of methamphetamine or heroin or cocaine addiction, that the only thing they want is the hit, the drug. And they don't care whether they have to steal from their mother, from their neighbor. That has taken over. There's really almost... And it's our job to get the anointing, to bring the heavenly glory down here, to give this people who are shattered and broken, say to them, there is deliverance, and you can be delivered from cocaine. You can be delivered from this drug. And we have seen people restored, whether it's alcohol, of course, alcohol was and has historically been a major thing. That's a curse, generational almost, that the weakness of alcohol just comes down and that shatters personality. So these are, what I'm trying to say to you is that this is, picturize what I'm saying, is that when the walls are broken down, then people have almost, their lives have been shattered. And yet, there is good news because Jesus came to save and to deliver and to heal, and we have seen the most amazing miracles. So that is this is what the supernatural assignment that Nehemiah gets here. The survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Gates are burned. So the walls, of course, give protection. Then the gates, you have an ability to control what comes in or goes out. So the gates are also important, but the walls are just as important. So the wall and the gates come together. And when we look at the personal lives, we also, individually again, there are walls and then there are gates. What are you letting in? For example, what shows are you watching? And your spirit will tell you, this is okay, cool, it's okay. I watch the Avengers movies, Iron Man going, doing his stuff, and Thor, and Captain America. Oh, that's fun. But I remember a show that I've not watched for years. There was a show called Criminal Minds, and it was about serial killers. And it was very interesting. It was done brilliantly, but it was about a very dark, evil thing. Each week they would deal with evil. And I watched 3-4 shows, and then I realized, God said, nope. You are, for you, this is not good. Because you are hovering around just dark things like serial killers and all. And I'm not putting that on you, but I'm just saying, for me, that God said, you better watch the doorway of your soul and shut the gate that you cannot allow. So your own conscience will tell you, this is okay, but this, nuh-uh. Don't, because you're going to bring through this gate, you're going to bring in not only to your soul, but into your house, things that may be dark. Am I making sense? So anyway, all right. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Just think, this is the spirit of leadership, this mantle of God. He's at ease. He is doing great. He has one of the great, it's almost like being a prime minister of a land. He is the cupbearer of the king of Persia. I mean, he is the one who is trusted to serve the king, protect him. This is the Persian Empire. If you read how powerful it was, how many countries, across how many borders, it was like the king of Persia was from Egypt to parts of Russia, all of that, what we present day. I mean, his kingdom was the whole of the Ottoman Empire, all of those air regions, portions of Greece to portions of India. I mean, it was huge. And this man is one of his right-hand men. He didn't have, he was cool. I mean, he had plenty of money. He had a mini palace, I'm sure. Whatever. But when he heard the condition of God's people and his holy city, something rose up in me, in him, that said, this is not right. And he started crying. That was the Spirit of God, that he took this personally. So that's why what happens in our city, or what happens so that we can protect the local church, our team of worshipers and community called All Nations and the Watch, that it is, we need to keep that strong. When something comes to attack it, then we say, we cannot allow this. This is, we're going to stay strong. So here, these walls are right now pretty bad. They hadn't been destroyed. So it was when I heard, I wept. It was in a spiritual way. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So this is happening. And I said, I pray, Lord, God of heaven, oh great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. It's okay to be humble. We often, you know, pride can hold us back from humbling ourselves and then becoming an effective intercessor. He is. He's doing okay, but he takes it personally. Lord, we have sinned. Both my father's house and I have sinned. Say, I have sinned. So it's okay. And now we are cleansed through the blood of Jesus. But it's all right to be humble and humble ourselves always. Yeah, I remember Derek saying, either humble yourself, choose to humble yourself, or let the Lord humiliate you. Choose which one. Not so, humble myself. Anyway, so we have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me, keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there, bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I pray, please, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray. And grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Sight of this man. Say, this man. Which man? For I was the king's cupbearer. It's fun. He waits till the end to tell us who he is. He is the man. I mean, he is a big guy in the British Empire. I mean, in the Persian Empire. I'm the king's cupbearer. Now, the king, it's funny, it can confuse you. His name in certain places is called King Ahasuerus. In other places, he's called Artaxerxes. In the opening chapters in this book. And he is the one, this king then, gives permission and command to Nehemiah to go back and restore the walls. But he is neither, so why is it one place is called Artaxerxes and other places it's called Ahasuerus? Because both of them, this is just kind of little Bible, little footnotes that it'd be good fun for you to know about. Both of them are titles. Artaxerxes means the great king. And Ahasuerus means honorable or venerable father, father of the empire. And to confuse you a little further, he is also Darius. the Mede in the book of Daniel. So some of these are names and these are titles. And then the Artaxerxes in the book of Nehemiah is not the Artaxerxes that's in the book of Ezra. That's if I have tried to confuse you. But the thing you'll find is that you'll find it's mentioned the king is sitting with the queen. The queen is Queen Esther in the book of Nehemiah. So, alrighty. Then we go to Nehemiah 2. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. By the way, it could get your head cut off if you are not supposed to act depressed or angry around the king. You had to be just nice. Everything is good. Because it meant bad news. You cannot, unless it was really serious. We are all happy, happy. Therefore the king noticed, why is your face sad since you are not sick? There's nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid and said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tomb, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Say rebuild. So we carry the spirit of restoration and rebuilding. And so there are job descriptions God has for us as prophetic instruments that the Lord will put part of the restore anointing to be together as men and women who help restore God's church and God's cities and rebuild them and be on a mission from God. And it's a godly thing that we take that responsibility. So Nehemiah chapters 1 through 6 is the project of rebuilding and reconstructing the walls of Jerusalem. That's Nehemiah's job. And the people, in a supernatural way, are so excited and help him build the wall. So we will go next time. I want to stop here and just say we will resume after. We will have a separate, you know, that theme. I don't know, unless God tells me to take up this book. And next Friday, we will do a little bit slightly different context of the service. But I would like to talk a little more about the gates and the rebuilding of the wall and what the strategy is. You find that immediately, it's like Mission Impossible. And he has a mission from God, but it is almost like a secret mission. When he first goes, he doesn't say, hello, I'm here. He does secretly goes around and makes an inspection. And he has to be wise. Why? Because there are enemies right among the people. Right amongst the Jewish people, there are treacherous situations there. And they are jealous, spirits of jealousy, all of that. So he has to be wise. And then at a certain time, he's Chuck Norris. and it's fun to observe him in action when he becomes like that, just for a little bit. Anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. So tell your neighbor, we're going to rebuild the walls. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I have specially asked the occupants of the nearby villages to come and help us praise and worship, because they come from the nearby villages. I call them the village people. Anyway, sorry. Amen. So let's worship for a moment. This was, it was on my heart to just say that it's the Holy Spirit is coming upon us, to the spirit of rebuilding of the society, the culture of broken families. We're going to help restore them and see mighty miracles in our families and in the families of our neighbors in this city and nation. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. What are we going to sing, Jenna?
Awesome.
Awesome. Amen. Let's, for a moment, stand up and sing.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.